My brothers and sisters, what was the reason for our Lord's baptism? If He's already one with the Holy Spirit, if He is totally free from sin, if He is filled with every grace and virtue, why be baptized? He responds to John when John asks him, "Why are you coming to me?" He says, "To fulfill all righteousness." St. Ambrose says, "What is righteousness except that what you would have another do to you, you should begin by doing it yourself, and so by your example, encourage others to follow." St. Augustine would say it this way, "Why was it necessary that our Lord should be baptized? So that no one might ever think himself at liberty to despise baptism. So that the entire world would be baptized in imitation of him." Which is why, as he's about to ascend into the heaven, he sends his apostles out and he says, "Baptize all the nations." My brothers and sisters, why is baptism so essential? Why do we need to be baptized? Why do we desire that everyone on the face of the earth be baptized? And if we don't desire that, we ought to desire that. Because our Lord said, "Go to all the nations. I want this for everyone." In order to understand, we have to go back to the beginning, to Adam and Eve. Sacred Scripture says Adam and Eve were created in the image and the likeness of God. What happened in the fall? Is it possible to erase the image of God in us? Can we ever lose that? No, it is utterly impossible. It is so deeply implanted in us. It can be marred, but it could never be obliterated. But what about the likeness that we share? That was a supernatural gift that God gave Adam and Eve in creation, and we call it the gift of grace. And it is grace that is a participation in the very life of God. We do not possess that by nature, and therefore it is something that can be lost. And what exactly did this mean for Adam and Eve? When we speak of sanctifying grace, we talk about the gift of the theological virtues. Those virtues we pray for every day when we pray the rosary. Faith, hope, and charity. We do not have those virtues by nature. For example, when a man one time came to Mother Teresa, and she's in the home for the dying, and he walks in and he's coming to interview her, and she is cleaning the wounds of a dying man. And he said it smelled so foul that he thought he'd have to go outside and get sick. And he looked at Mother Teresa and said, "Mother, I wouldn't do what you do for $1 million. And she looked at him and said, "I would not do what I do for $1 million. I do it for Jesus." Because one could not love that way except by the gift of God, the virtue that He gives through grace. Or take the virtue of faith. You ever been around second graders when they're learning about the Holy Eucharist? It's amazing. You think, it's a marvel. How do they believe that? Right? And they just accept it so readily. Oh yeah, that piece of bread, that wine that becomes His body and blood, okay. Right? It's not because they're unintelligent. It's not because they're young and they'll believe anything. It's because they've been baptized. And they have the virtue of faith so that they're ready to receive the truths of the faith. If you went out and tried to teach another second grader who has not been baptized that the Eucharist is Jesus Christ, they're going to struggle with that. You try to teach an adult who has never been baptized the truths of the faith, and it is so hard for them to make the act of faith because they don't have that virtue. Or the virtue of hope. What is the least prayed for virtue? In my experience, it's the virtue of hope. You hear people all the time say, "Oh, Father, I'm praying for patience. Right? I'm praying for charity. Gosh, if I could just be a little bit nicer." You almost never hear anybody say, "Father, I'm praying for hope." It is one of the theological virtues that unites us to God. We do not hope in God by nature. We do not say, I believe that God is going to get me through this trial. I have confidence that He's going to give me the strength. He never fails us. So what did Adam and Eve lose when they fell? Did they lose faith? Did they cease to believe that God is real, that He exists? No. Actually, they so believed in Him that they were afraid and they went and hid themselves. They didn't lose faith. Did they lose the virtue of hope? We believe by faith that Adam and Eve are in heaven, which means they must have preserved the hope that even though we have done this, God will forgive us. We can still be reconciled to Him. So what did they lose? They lost love. Because they had loved something of this world for only a moment more than they loved God. Their love for God did not lead them to choose God over the temptation. They did not love God enough, and so they lost that gift of grace. And my brothers and sisters, this is what happens when someone falls in a serious way, the similar experience that Adam and Eve had. A person doesn't lose faith. A person doesn't lose hope. I've had people on their deathbed. One time I had a woman say, Father, it's been 71 years since my last confession. And I thought, my goodness, she still has that hope that God will forgive her. She's never lost faith that He still cares. But why didn't she confess 71 years before? Because she was not filled with that love that would set her faith and hope on fire. What was the world waiting for thousands of years since the fall of Adam and Eve? The baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ, a baptism by the Holy Spirit and fire, that once again we could be filled with the fire of His love, the gift of grace, so that the Holy Spirit could dwell in us anew. That's what had been lost. And this is why Paul and all the apostles, they say, we are now temples of the Holy Spirit because we've been baptized. The Holy Spirit can live in us again. Just a little bit more about the virtues because it's so essential that we understand this. The fathers of the church say these three virtues are to purify the faculties of our souls. What does love purify? It purifies our wills so that we can love God above all those desires of the world that our hearts seek out. You know, I was with my brother one time, and we were having a glass of wine at his house. And I brought a bottle of wine, but he had already opened a bottle of wine, so we had two bottles of wine, only one open, sitting on the table. He says, Jer, wouldn't it be great if we could not only polish off this bottle, but the next one, and not have to go to confession? Right, but why did we do it? Because we love God more than we love that wine. Love purifies our wills so that we choose God above everything of this world. What does faith purify? It purifies our minds so that we don't live simply by reason, but that we live by faith. So that as my aunt, after she just delivered her second child, you know, and she's just been through all the pain, then the nurse comes in and she says, you're going to have a tubal ligation, right? Right? You're not going to go on living this way. You're not going to have more children, are you? And in that moment, she's saying, gosh, it would save us a lot of money. Think of all the trials we might have if we have more kids. Am I going to live by faith? Am I going to choose God who says, put me first in your life and all things will be given to you? I will provide, even though you might not see that by the light of reason. Or is she going to do that which rationally makes sense to her? When we make the act of faith, it purifies our reason, our minds. What does hope purify? It purifies our memories. Hope is one of the least prayed for virtues. We don't often think about it, but what leads us to not put our hope in God? It is the memory of the sins we've committed, or that which has taken place in our past that was hurtful, that wounded us, that caused us great suffering. How many times do you hear people say, "Oh, I could never be holy. You don't know what I've done in my past." It's that memory that needs to be purified. Or why don't we more readily surrender ourselves to God? Because we look at our past and we say, "Gosh, I was so hurt. Why would God have allowed that to happen in my life?" It's the virtue of hope that allows us to choose, even though we have those memories, to place our hope in God rather than in ourselves. St. Thomas Aquinas said, "The beauty of a baptized soul surpasses the beauty of the entire cosmos, because that soul now shares in the beauty of God Himself." Our Lord said, "Go out and baptize all the nations." I marvel sometimes that in most Catholic churches, how many people come into the faith each year? 3, 4, 8 is a huge number in most churches. Do we realize the gift we have through baptism? It makes us one with God. The Holy Spirit lives in us if we are in a state of grace. Imagine if every single one of us brought one person into the church each year. One more soul filled with the Holy Spirit and with the fire of His love.